Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this world a much better place. I wanted to tell you that after I played some excerpts from messages from President Kennedy, the studio lit up in this beautiful white angelic light, and it has stayed with us since, and it's still this beautiful white light around us here. So I guess we can save on the light bill because we have all this angelic light around us. During the first hour, I interviewed a wonderful man named Professor Jerry Pollack, who in my opinion is one of the world's most famous and well-known water scientist at the University of Washington. His laboratory needs funding, though. And if you like, please contact President Donald Trump at the White House and ask him to fund his laboratory, because they do need public and private funds. If you'd like to donate, make a tax-deductible contribution to his lab, please send Professor Pollack an email to ghp@u.washington.edu. During the second hour, 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing a wonderful gentleman named Scott Lemriel from the Los Angeles area. Scott's the author of two books entitled The Ceres Agenda and The Emerald Doorway. They're wonderful books, and I urge you all to get a copy and read both if you can. Scott has been in telepathic and physical contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 54 years, and what he has to say is simply amazing. We'll be going into that in just a minute. But before we go to Scott, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support of this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by private donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. For those donating more than $25 or more today, I'll be happy to give you a brief psychic reading. With that, also, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support for my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference that was held in March of this year in Olympia, Washington, just south of Seattle. Because of the success of that conference, I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, at the same location, 9101 Silicon Road, southeast in Olympia. It's only about an hour south of Seattle. Or if you're flying in from out of the area, you can also fly into Portland or beautiful Vancouver, Canada. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Briefly, I also like to mention some upcoming events. Tomorrow on July 15th and on Sunday, July 16th, I'll be at a wonderful event called Capital Lake Fair in Olympia, Washington, in booth 36 with my friends Kim and Aaron Cooper, giving readings from about 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. On Saturday, July 29th, I'll be also giving readings at what's called the UFO Fest in Yelm, Washington. It's only about 14 miles from Olympia, or about an hour, 1.5 hours south of Seattle. For more information, please see their website at www.yelmufofest.com. Then from August 18th to the 21st, I'll be in the Dominican Republic speaking at a wonderful conference called the Peace and Light Conference. I went to the Peace and Light Conference last year in the Dominican Republic and was one of the best conferences I've ever been at. They'll have some amazing people at the conference, and we're all trying to make the world a better place. Their website is www.paxluxmundi.com, paxluxmundi.com. I hope you can all come to this fantastic event. And finally, from September 7th through the 12th, in a couple of months, I'll be taking a small group of people to Mount Shasta, which is the root chakra of planet Earth. Located approximately 250 miles from beautiful San Francisco, Shasta has many powerful vortexes, and it contains many entrances to the hollow Earth. Last year, I took another group of people to Mount Shasta, where six people actually physically went into Telos and Shambhala, the ancient Lemurian cities beneath the mountain. Other people actually met people from Telos on the mountain. Several people were taken aboard benevolent UFOs from the Hollow Earth. Others met Adama and Saint Germain. And many others saw Sasquatch, or saw evidence of them. One of the things, if you do go on the trip, I've said this before, please bring organic cinnamon rolls with lots of white frosting. The Sasquatch have a hard time finding them. They can't find any in the forest down around Shasta, and they love them so much. It's such a treat for them to have them. Everyone had many wonderful mystical experiences, and I hope you can go. If for more information, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost for the 5 days is just $200 and includes free camping. It's dry camping, which means that there's no water there, but you can bring your own water in. It's in a beautiful location right on Mount Shasta. There's also some spiritual protocols that you'll need to follow. And when you register, I'll be happy to send them to you. When we're down there, I've got some incredibly interesting people coming along. We'll be meeting down there. Diane Robbins, she's the author of many books on Telos and the Hollow Earth. She lives in Mount Shasta. We'll be seeing her for her presentation. And my good friend Scott Lemriel, who we'll be talking to in just a minute, will be there as well, giving a presentation on the Galactic Alliance. And I'd like to go over this with him, too, on the air now that there's a benevolent base within Mount Shasta, too. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And finally, Michiko Hayashi, the global director of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, will also be giving a presentation on Dr. Emoto's Messages from Water on Sunday, September 10th, from about 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. right at the Mount Shasta Library. She'll also be doing a very special spiritual water ceremony to clean up the earth and help clean up the radiation from Fukushima and around the planet at some special Native American springs in Mount Shasta. And I hope you can all come. I think it's going to be an incredible experience. I was recently in Mount Shasta last month, and when I was there, several entities from Telos came with me, and they're with me here today, actually, helping to guide me, and I appreciate their help so much. Before we go on to my interview with Scott, I'd like to play Aquarius from the Fifth Dimension just for a few minutes, because we are actually, friends, entering a new age where peace and harmony will reign on the earth, and I'd like to play this just real brief, and then we'll talk to Scott. Thanks so much, Eric, for playing that wonderful music. And with that, I'd like to bring in my good friend Scott Lemriel from the Los Angeles area. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Ted. Pleasure to be on your show again.
Good, good. I'm so glad to have you here. I've had you on for little bits here and there for a few minutes, but you know, I realized last week it'd be great to have you on for the full time. Tell me a little bit about the Galactic Alliance, Scott, and your friends from out of town, as you like to say.
In English, the term for the larger organization of benevolent world systems in our galaxy, much larger than what people have disclosed on the planet, whether they're whistleblowers from a secret space program or anything else, there's so much more to it. It's called the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds. It's made up of more than 450 million benevolent spacefaring races, human, humanoid, and others. The greater portion of the galaxy is inhabited by benevolent beings. There's a few tyrant races, but they're being, as we speak, subconsciously corrected so that they aren't tyrants anymore.
Excellent.
Okay, and the Galactic Alliance itself, there are many small organizations in local world systems not far from our solar system that are helping out with this process as well. Human beings are probably one of the most ancient races ever evolved in the many galaxies. We're not a new race, very old, and human beings in our form have been out there for many billions of years. So this means that human beings never actually evolved on this planet in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an earful for people to hear this for the first time, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. And how many entities? I think you told me once 6 or 7 trillion entities. Is that right?
Oh, it's quite a bit more than that, just in our galaxy alone.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing.
When I say there's 450 million inhabited spacefaring worlds, it's important for me to get across to people that there are 144 parallel dimensions of matter at different time rates operating with just the physical universe before you even get to the astral plane.
Wow.
And the advanced races can travel in craft and out of body between all these planes. And they trade and they have great relationships. None of the governments involved are in any way tyrant. They don't have monetary systems. They're mm-hmm. illegal.
Wow.
So that's how they how normal human beings really operate. And off-world, they live 1,000 to 20,000 years and leave their bodies of free will when the time comes.
Wow.
They don't grow old and become decrepit as the years wear on like we do here.
Mm-hmm.
People on Earth have had certain genomes shut down in their DNA
right.
Long ago in galactic history and have been compulsively reincarnating here for a long time. We, of course, the people I work with from out of town, from off-world, want to help change that all of that for the first time in galactic history here on this world.
Wow, that is so wonderful, Scott. Are your friends from out of town? I have a feeling they're listening today.
Torellian, Ambassador Torellian is here. I always ask him humbly if he will present himself. He is human. He's about 18 feet tall.
My goodness.
In comparison to humans on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We get our genomes and our DNA from them long ago in galactic history, as do most of the other evolved spacefaring races today.
Mm-hmm.
Their race is, let's say, they have a physical presence they can manifest,
mm-hmm.
but they just have a program of their DNA form in an atom of their being.
Wow.
And when they want to manifest it, they just manifest it, which means if one appeared to a person, mm-hmm. you could actually touch them.
Wow, amazing.
And when they're done, they just dematerialize it. But we wouldn't want to be experiencing their energy right now on Earth because it's the vibration and the power of their energy so far removed from people on Earth's understanding. It would be very disabling, or it would also affect subconscious implants people still have here
mm-hmm.
and turn them on and cause a lot of problems. So the Galactic Alliance members who are trained to remove implants, which mm-hmm. is underway off-world and starting to gear up on Earth, and Torellian and the Assayrays race are very careful about how they approach humans, very, very carefully in regulating, making sure that implants are turned off, at least temporarily, subconscious influences that are,
sure.
so people can be aware sure. enough to make good decisions sure. about co-creating a change from this kind of thing into what they once knew before it was taken from them.
Sure, sure. I have to ask you this question. You said money was illegal on benevolent human civilizations outside of this planet. And is that, I think I know the answer to this. Ambassador Twillen just said you do, but I wanted to ask you about nuclear technology, too. Is that also illegal outside
anything
of?
Radioactive. Radioactive isotopes are man-made or
okay.
misuse of extraterrestrial technology made.
Mm-hmm.
Radioactive energies aren't used
mm-hmm.
in space travel or in any of their home worlds
mm-hmm.
because they're destructive.
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow them. They don't make nuclear weapons. Only tyrants will do that, breaking treaties.
Sure.
And they're policed and caught all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've stopped it. One thing that they have intervened with on this world since World War II,
mm-hmm.
fortunately for us, without directly intervening worldwide at this stage,
right.
is they've prevented nuclear war from happening 12 separate times here.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that's one thing they will not tolerate.
Right, right.
Because that would negatively affect beings in other realities other than just Earth, and we don't have the right as an unconscious planet of people to do such a thing.
So when the mass media here in the United States starts having shows about, having stories about North Korea and their possibility of sending a nuclear device to the United States.
It's nonsense.
Nonsense, that's what I thought.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
It just keeps people focused on the bad guys out there and takes
sure.
their attention off the fact that they're being pretty well dominated here in their own country.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's the same for other countries, anybody involved in NATO.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say in their defense, though, the hidden government, classified government, people like this,
mm-hmm.
royal family bloodlines, have all been more seriously implanted with control programs in the electromagnetic field around their being
mm-hmm.
than you and I have or right. the masses of people have.
I see.
So I cut them some slack because, in reality, if they didn't have those subconscious programs
right.
that was put in them without their consent by the misuse of extraterrestrial technology by tyrants breaking
right.
an off-world treaty.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't have that, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we want to help liberate that, and you, Ted, me, and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
We're all involved in this together.
Right, right.
And we have to live together amongst all the races and all the dimensions. We either live together or we go through a destructive cycle again.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that.
No, no.
One of the things that I do in my work, as you know, Ted, is I speak about the hue, the ancient first sound creation or word that brought all this into existence, this multidimensional universe, and about a new ray that began operating in it, which is designed to retire evil as an experiment and replace it with one overriding, proper, divine impulse, which is to create only that which will be uplifting and of benevolent value to all life everywhere, not just life on Earth, but all life. Wow. That's how normal human beings in other worlds operate.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. And hue, is that what it came from? Human, H-U-M-A-N?
It's funny how tyrants will hide something in plain sight.
Yeah, yeah.
The first part of the word human is a key to the original word of creation. And people, as long as they can't comprehend how simple it is and what it vibrationally connects a person to and what it begins to do, are going to be blinded from ever even thinking of it as having any validity.
Sure.
Because that ability to understand this stuff has been taken from them.
Well, let's you taught me the hue some years ago, Scott, and I'd like for you to demonstrate it and how it connects with the galactics and how people can use it in their own lives.
Sure. Even a blind person or a deaf person can use this once it's communicated to them in some form, either through hand signals or whatever. A deaf person can hear from the other realities, especially when they're out of the body at night, where they don't have the limitation physically. Same for blind people. And for people, the rest of the human beings, if they choose to, they can, in a privacy, in a place that's private and won't be disturbed. It sounds like the name Hugh, H-U-G-H, and it's sent out on a whole round tone of their choice on the outgoing breath. What I recommend is people first imagine, in their imagination, set all their concerns for the world, their future destiny, the planet's destiny, money, health concerns, on a shelf in their imagination, just for a few moments. Mm-hmm. They're going to take that back when we're done anyway. And then we send out this you, because what it does is it makes a certain protected connection through the pineal gland in the center of the brain. And it connects to beings who don't have subconscious minds, are not implanted, fellow human beings and other beings. They will hear this. And when we do this of our own free will, they begin to become aware of where we are on Earth, and they begin to help us. It's very important. It sounds like this. You. Person usually takes a breath or two, just looks in their imagination. That same place a person would look when they close their eyes and imagine a beautiful waterfall or butterfly. And after four or five times of this, it's good if a person sends out this request. It's worded very carefully. It's a telepathic communication that happens. It's pure. It's beyond psychic. It comes from a higher world. It's something that all of us once knew how to do with certainty. So it needs to be recalled or remembered more than developed in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So after four or five times of this, a person can send out this statement. Safely show me deliberately hidden truth on a grand multidimensional scale, and the much greater knowing of the expansive love within it. And then just send out the hue four or five more times, particularly at night before a person goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Then their dreams start waking up.
Oh, nice.
And other things can happen.
Wonderful.
That's kind of how that works, Ted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. One of the things you told me, I always learn something every time I talk to you, Scott, off air. And you said that there was a benevolent base within Mount Shasta. Could you explain a little bit about that, please?
Most of the higher energies that are centered around that mountain actually emanate from a collective of beings that have a benevolent extraterrestrial base deep within the mountain itself.
Mm-hmm.
It was put there in 1908.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an operation to help steer off nuclear war and other things that otherwise would have already happened here.
Right.
This has to do with an off-world treaty that came about at the end of a galactic war, the last one that happened in our galaxy, half a million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a treaty where tyrant races were defeated, and the treaty stipulates that there should be no interference on some levels with this planet. And this Earth planet itself in that treaty was stipulated to be able to have small, the different races could have small outposts here. Tyrants would bring slaves and have little mining colonies like Samaria, which it was.
Right.
So it's a Trellian outpost at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not Trellian, pardon me, Reptilian.
Reptilian base.
Ambassador of the Ceres. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it was established for two reasons, to keep the world from being destroyed and to prepare it for the time when something could be brought into creation to help actually change this place. That's coming up. So when people go to Mount Shasta, there are the beings that operate that base know how to traverse the many parallel dimensions and the worlds within them. They do it as a standard thing in their daily lives, all over the universe. So you're going to have a lot going on there. There's much more to it behind the scenes off-planet than Telos alone.
Oh, sure.
There's so much more interrelated to all of this.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people, so when I come up to your event in September, I think it is.
Yes.
I will be talking about that and sharing, vibrationally sharing, telepathically sharing more about this for people's benefit that will be involved in your Telos protocols and everything else that you do.
Well, it should be really out of this world because
your
friends will be there. I know that when we were there last month, I remember one night we were up near Mount Shasta, and we could see, it was about maybe about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and there was, you could see these two, it looked like spacecraft coming out of Mount Shasta, dots, and then they were flying around and doing different aerobatics. And then they suddenly took off at a 90-degree angle off to the right, going east. And this went on all night. I mean, we could see spacecraft up in the skies going right past the mountain. And it's so incredible because, you know, as you know, there are some programs out there, and you have some people saying that we don't know if there's UFOs or we don't know if there's just lights in the sky.
Right.
But the evidence, all you have to do is just crank your neck at about 100 and at a straight angle, look up in the sky and just look, because they're all there flying around.
Yeah, there is a shielded opening in the top of the base of the caldera on Mount Shasta.
Okay.
Which is an extinct volcano, so they can come in and go out of the mountain.
Right.
There is a vortex of energy, a very high one, about 5,000 feet above the mountain, that accesses direct access when a ship goes through it. It comes out in an opening near Saturn.
Wow.
And there's another one that comes out in the asteroid belt. There are these types of openings all over Earth that extraterrestrial races utilize to get around.
Sure.
And these are energy vortexes, you know. There's the little ones like you'll have around Sedona, energy vortexes on the ground.
Right.
The actual vortex in Sedona that people are drawn to is a causal plane vortex that links directly to the Earth bypassing the astral.
Wow.
And it's 500 feet above the Little Mesa Airport. And it's horizontally whirling above there.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken some people up there in the past so they could hear this sound current, this U.
Wow.
I mean, loudly radiating in their ears because it's so strong. So we went up there in a whole car full of people. We parked, we turned off the engine, and I just had people listen.
Where
heard this.
This was on Shasta, top of Shasta?
No, this is in Sedona.
Oh, Sedona. Oh, I see. Okay.
And it's up there. It's up. You park in the dirt area parking lot by the Little Mesa Airport.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And if you turn, they just listen. They could hear the deep roaring of this energy field.
Wow.
All of them could hear it. Some had been trying for decades to hear it, never heard it until they came up there.
Wow.
And then they understood immediately what it was. They remembered.
That's amazing.
So these kinds of things happen around the Earth, and as you know, Mount Shasta has this kind of energy field in different ways around it as well.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, last year what happened is that there were several people. It happened twice. One at a wonderful, it's kind of like I would call it a spiritual center. It's much more than a bookstore. It's a spiritual and crystal center in downtown Mount Shasta called Soul Connections. They have they have books, but they also have tons of crystals. It's a wonderful place. The energy is beautiful when you walk in. You feel like you're totally uplifted. But one of the people I was with, he said that he was looking at the crystals, and suddenly this woman materialized next to him, and she was human. She had blonde hair, but her facial features were far flatter. Her face was much flatter. And she was as shocked to see him as he was to see her, because she just basically came out of nowhere. And she said she wasn't from around Shasta. She was beneath Shasta. She was just a Talosian who liked to look at the crystals. And there was another a small party of people hiking around up at the top of the mountain also last year. And the same thing happened. They were doing some prayer meditations. And suddenly, out of nowhere, this fellow shows up with a long beard and a white robe on and says, "Can I join you?" And they said, "Sure, we'd love you." And he made some prayers with them. And then he said, "Thank you. Have a beautiful day." And then before they knew it, he had disappeared into the ether. And it was in an area in a meadows where, not a meadows, but a rock face where there was nothing around for a long, at least a mile. And suddenly he was just gone. Same thing. So I know the Talosians do show up, and they do come in and interact with people on the mountain. But that happened twice last year. And I communicate with them telepathically. I have at least several entities with me now, actually, who came back with me from the mountain, and they're benevolent, and they help guide me, and I appreciate them so much.
Tell you what else is above your radio station right now. Eric might want to listen. May not relate to him, but I can tell you it's true.
Mm-hmm.
There are three Galactic Scout craft from the Galactic Alliance.
Oh, how nice.
And Shantiel and Tomtiel, the husband and wife team amongst the eight people that are on each craft, they're all kind of teams which assist with implant removal, help connect with people so they can get this stuff removed safely when they're out of their bodies at night at first, prepare people for more direct contact. And Ambassador Trellin himself always stands in the background overlooking these things, protecting the studio, the conversation, the satellite, so that we aren't interrupted.
Beautiful.
We have a protection. He's just smiling, looking down on things. I asked them to be there for this radio show.
Thank you so much.
They hovered about 5,000 feet in what's called a technical term, shifted out of phase.
Okay.
It just means that the frequency of the electromagnetic field around their ships is raised molecularly, the time rate a little bit, so that we don't see or hear them. And they cannot be detected on radar unless they wish to be.
I want to tell Eric that he stepped out for a minute. Eric, we have three... three UFOs above the station helping us out today with the signal. Just thought I'd let you know. Yeah, he's smiling. He said thanks.
So, it's all good.
Anyway.
It's all good.
Good, good.
So that's going on, and there's Telos is a good door, I think, for people to become aware of people in other realities, other vibrational frequencies, whether they're in the Earth or on other worlds or other dimensions.
Sure.
But there's so much more, such a vast much more for people to become aware of, to remember, to recall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I want to help bring that to your little event and expand it a bit because human beings have at the core of their being always had ability to look into the universe and know things. It's called direct knowing perception.
Wow.
It's one of the things tyrants want to close down subconsciously in humans when they want to make slaves out of.
Is that the reason why fluoridation was used by Adolf Hitler in World War II in concentration camps to dumb people down?
Because
in the
it
water?
Would cloud up the clear liquid in the pineal gland, correct?
Sure. And is that 60-70% of the municipal water supplies in the United States are also fluoridated?
Yeah, some are, some aren't, but it's true. They just unconsciously do it because they think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But this, it really isn't. And, you know, seaweed and kelp and iodine, if you can take it, not allergic to it. Healthy eating, you know, we'll uncloud that, decalcify the pineal gland so that clarity of hearing and seeing into the other worlds can awaken in people. All human beings on Earth at one time knew with certainty.
Sure.
They actually knew about the nature of the multidimensional universe.
Sure.
And
sure.
who they are as beings, not the body.
Well, one
that's been stripped from them.
One of the advantages of living here in the Seattle area, Scott, is that the ocean's not far away, and you can always go down to the beach and find seaweed and just chew on it, I guess.
Yeah,
you want to.
You might get it easier in commercial outlets. Provide seaweed already prepared, you know, but it does very, very much help.
Yeah, yeah.
The nutrients in seawater and kelp and that and seaweed and stuff is very good for detoxifying the brain as well.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. I'll remember
that. It's good to eat a little of that every day if you can stomach it.
Well, the other thing, too, I know that there's something called Arctic Skate Liver Oil, which is S-K-A-T-E, which is a fish who lives in the Arctic. And there, if you take a tablet a day for 2 weeks, that'll also clear up your pineal gland and get rid of the fluoride.
Very interesting. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about $30 for a bottle of 120 tablets. And I've used it in the past, and it's really helped me, too. It's,
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I'll ask you about that later and jot it down.
Okay, yeah. I'd be happy to do that. One thing, I just, during this little bit of break, I had a request from one of my listeners to please give out Gerald Pollack's email again.
Go ahead.
Just real quick. He's a nice fellow. I like Jerry.
I like Jerry. He's a good man. He's got a lot to say.
Oh, yeah. His email is G as in George, H as in Harry, P as in Paul, at u.washington.edu. That's GHP at u.washington.edu for donations or support. And he's a wonderful man, has a wonderful laboratory, and I know that people will step up. Because most people in this world are benevolent, kind, loving, sweet human beings who want to make this world a better place. And Jerry's a great guy. He has a great lab and does wonderful research nobody else does in the entire world. So donations, I know, will really be appreciated.
Yeah, I became familiar with Professor Gerald Pollack's work. He was one of the presenters along with me and Hopi Indian elders and some others.
Oh, yeah.
That were at a special Finland conference. That's where I first met Jerry.
That's right.
And was exposed to his work,
mm-hmm.
which I think is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Ted, you were there, so you know.
Yeah, it was a wonderful conference. And actually, I saw Yanni, the organizer. I talked to him, Yanni. I think he's talking about, I talked to Yanni. He's thinking about doing another conference, but We'll cross that bridge sometime in the future, because
yeah.
I know it takes some time.
Right. Okay.
It takes some time. But I was going to ask you, too, in the Galactic Alliance, are they mostly human, but all benevolent, mostly human? Is that right?
Many, many are. Millions, millions, and millions, hundreds of millions of planetary systems, yes, in different parallel dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
They're also humanoid, meaning they may have ears like elves. They may have blue skin or green skin or slightly bigger eyes than humans here.
Right.
They're all bipedal. Some are capable of breathing underwater or on land.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the races are more exotic, like bird-type bipedal people.
Or like the blue avians, sure.
Praying mantis-type people. There's the reptilian grays, tall whites, different subspecies of all of them, some good, some that are tyrants.
Right.
It's quite a mix, so it really confuses people on Earth when they get exposed to them for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Now,
there's all kinds of races out there that are working together in harmony.
One of the
just vast organization of it.
Sure. I got Billy Fay Woodard. Billy sent me a picture of his dad Zora, Father Zora here. I think it was late last year, and and Zora is a wonderful man. He's from Telos, Hollow Earth. And his skin itself is green, and they explained the blood is actually copper based, which I thought was
obviously that type of Telosian didn't originate on Earth.
No,
came here like other races did long ago.
Yeah, well, they explained to me that they actually came from Lemuria and had escaped Lemuria when it was being destroyed by the Atlanteans about 12,500 years ago, and they went in underneath Mount Shasta's caverns, and about.
But I have a different. Well, I have a different time period for when all that occurred.
Oh, well, tell me. I'd be interested.
Which is in the Emerald Doorway book, the first book of the Parallel Time Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
That book is more about the hidden, classified, or directly, deliberately suppressed ancient history of Earth and our solar system involving extraterrestrials.
Interesting.
Lemuria was an extraterrestrial colony originally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These cycles went on for 100,000 years and then destroyed by the polar flips of this planet, which only this planet does, or did. By the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, Atlantis was two-thirds the size of Lemuria over the opposite side of the planet. They were equally centered over the equator, north and south.
Uh-huh.
And when Lemuria was destroyed, all of Atlantis was destroyed. New land masses rose up virtually overnight. It's a very violent affair.
Mm-hmm.
All except a volcanic island, which became the Atlantis that Edgar Cayce popularized, which over 70,000 years after Lemuria was destroyed became the colonizing power on Earth.
Oh,
that's
the
one most people remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think Edgar Cayce himself said he couldn't read accurately back before 35,000 years ago when he said Atlantis went down. Everybody has a different view on this, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what's important isn't so much the timeline as the awareness people had back then to recover it.
Interesting.
That's important. But Lemuria was originally an all colonies on this planet, and many cycles of civilizations that have been here going back 50 million years. After the dinosaurs were made extinct. mm-hmm. isn't in the memory of people here, and it should be. It's their history.
Right, right.
So one of my missions is to help wake that up, too.
Let me ask you this, Scott. You said that, I think you've told me before, that people having a subconscious is not normal outside of this planet. Is that right?
It's not. Most people think that a subconscious mind, they have no other way of identifying what it is because it's the great unknown.
Right.
For people on Earth, even psychiatrists and psychologists address the mind as if it's in the brain.
Right.
It isn't.
Mm-hmm.
The subconscious domain is an artificially created area where beings can do things and place programs in there you're not aware of. That's why it's called subconscious.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
And they're designed to affect the nervous system. Implants, which I'm not talking about the little chips under the skin, that was all using it. Antiquated extraterrestrial technology that was given to some people on Earth. They tried to reverse engineer how to implant.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically were motivated to try to find a way to undo what was done to them.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, that was a sorry state of affairs, what they did during those years, which, by the way, has been stopped permanently.
Good. That's good. That's
people
good.
Aren't being abducted anymore either on this planet.
I wanted to ask you about that. That's very good news. That's very
good news.
You
know, you just don't hear any new stories of that kind of thing.
No. No.
That's a very good sign.
I was just curious, why? I have some speculations, but why were the tyrannical races abducting humans?
It was done to get genetic sampling, which people have talked about.
Okay.
But it was done for more diabolical reasons than that excuse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's 6 million people missing from this planet. That wow. probably will never return.
Wow, too bad.
Because they're probably dead.
Right.
The race that was in control of certain factions of grays and tall whites, which are imperial bloodline races, were the reptilian races. The tyrant ones. There were some races out there that were never part of their empires that are reptilian, that are bipedal, that are vegetarian.
Wow, that's amazing.
That are still benefactors in the Galactic Alliance, but not the tyrant races.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very mixed-up field when people get into it. There are some good grays, some tall whites, and others that aren't part of this imperial thing
mm-hmm.
and never have been, but they don't come to Earth. So when you think okay. of extraterrestrials and those other forms coming to Earth, they're part of more of a covert, classified type thing.
I see.
And so people need to be aware of that. And the other thing is, too, it's very important that people understand that these races, like the reptilians people talk about,
right,
were more heavily implanted subconsciously and controlled and perverted to become tyrants
mm-hmm.
than people understand. 500,000 years ago, before they started this war,
right,
they were defeated in it. Many worlds were destroyed. They were implanted by a more ruthless, white-winged race
mm-hmm.
that were not native to this particular parallel dimension. They came from another one.
Mm-hmm.
And they inspired and controlled this one race here to go out and be terrorizing factions in this universe while they hid behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
That ended 500,000 years ago. They were removed from this dimension and sealed in their own. They can't return. So that problem would stop them, but not the implant of beings.
Oh,
the technology is still running, genetically passed on mm-hmm. here on Earth in people who incarnated here.
Uh-huh.
It's passed on genetically.
Wow.
With human beings that were brought here in some aspects of Earth in its history, as slaves to do the dirty work like mining, their higher faculty of direct knowing perception, their ability to get in and out of their body, their photographic memory, their telepathic functioning were all shut down
mm-hmm.
by implanting them and then shutting down certain genomes on the DNA.
Mm.
That they're just switches, and higher yeah. scientists on other worlds know how to move those switches or operate them through precise frequencies.
Right.
So if you want to turn off aging, when you live 1,000 years and a race wants to make you less than they are, then you shut down their age to 80 or 100.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right? Sure. If you mm-hmm. want, if they're telepathic and they can communicate with free beings in the universe, you don't want them doing that.
Right.
So you give them what's called intuition. You shut it down. Or you make it doubt or have no confidence in their ability to communicate this okay. way, which okay. is normal.
Which is normal, sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tell me about royal families here. And do they exist on advanced human races beyond this planet?
There are a few human races that are under those controls, yes.
Okay.
There are some Nordics that are tyrants, some that aren't.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, so you have to be careful whenever you deal with these issues. most races on other worlds are benevolent and mm-hmm. highly evolved, much more evolved than on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they always have been. But there have been some tyrant races with high technology, which they stole generally, not being very good creators themselves, that created a lot of havoc in this galaxy and in others.
Mm-hmm.
And what the part of my mission to this world is, and why I'm here, is to help bring about something which began 60 years ago, more than 60 years ago, that was intercepted, which is now starting for the first time for real. Even decades later, it's better now late than never.
What happened 60 years ago?
Well, more than that, I came to this world as an ambassadorial status to begin negotiating with leaders here to change this place.
Oh, great.
So did others from Venus and others. A lot of people tried from a number of different angles.
Right.
But we weren't authorized to directly interfere with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrants are the only ones that wave magic wands and change people without their permission.
Right.
Benevolent beings do not function that way.
Right.
And my particular mission was intercepted because of a leak in the Galactic Alliance that gave up my schedule for travel. My ship was captured.
Oh, no.
I was actually, my body was destroyed, and I was compelled to inhabit the body I have now.
Mm-hmm.
At about 3 years of age, the being that was operating around it was kicked out and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And memory was wiped. I was put in a body that was genetically shut down, as they all are on Earth.
Yeah.
So when you try to use your higher faculties, push certain buttons in the brain, don't work.
Wow.
So I began to operate here at about three, when the body was about three.
Mm-hmm.
And it took quite a number of experiences over many years to recover what tyrants thought could not be recovered.
Oh, interesting.
That's really my own history. It's mm-hmm. true. It's in the Sarah's agenda, but I generally don't discuss it too much.
Sure.
Because it doesn't matter to other people.
Right.
What matters is their own experience.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Right.
What I try to do with presentations is, you know, Ted, when I work with the hue and take it up 12 tones, is it the true free will of each being below their implants kicks
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
and connects to beings outside, not tyrants.
Right.
And a irreversible process begins to unravel all this suppression nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while once it's generated, but it's always done with the free will participation of attendees at conferences I attend. There's a lot more going on than what appears on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how I came to be here. And now that I know what I know and I'm working with the beings I'm working with, this process to change this planet is now underway. Partially because something was brought into creation, as you know, Ted, that didn't exist before.
Right.
Maybe 6.5 years ago in galactic history, a new kind of liberating energy ray that works through the hue comes with its own certain kind of protection when people do it that they have to experience for themselves to understand it. And then they can start to awaken even in the midst of this interbulated world in
mm-hmm.
a safe way. So when I go to conferences and when I come up to your event, when I share with people that craft from other worlds, beings I work with, will be protecting people on their way there and during the event and on their way home, I really mean it.
Well, one of the things that happened is that one of the ships dematerialized. We could see the ship, actually. That happened
Wonderful.
Both in August of 2015 when we were both at Rob Potter's conference. And then again, that happened, I believe, in June of 2016 as well.
Yeah, there were two. One was at your conference, Ted.
Right.
There was, I think, what was her name? You know the girl that helped you put that conference together, the one before this last one? Robin?
I think so. Yeah, Robin. Yeah, Robin. Uh-huh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. We were coming home from dinner, and I said, I want to stop the car. I want to show you something.
Mm-hmm.
It was dusk, coming
okay.
back to the evening session.
Uh-huh.
And up in the distant sky, up over towards the coast, I said, look at that. There's this orange glow.
Wow.
And then it moved way over to the right. Then it came towards us,
mm-hmm.
faded out,
mm-hmm.
faded back in,
mm-hmm.
then flashed and disappeared.
Wow. Amazing.
That was the ship with a husband and wife team, Sean Teal and Tonal Teal, aboard.
Wow. Amazing.
So they wanted to show her. I don't know why they didn't show everybody else. I think there's a reason.
Right.
They're very mm-hmm. careful about manifesting the craft, not for their protection, but for ours.
Sure.
While we're on Earth.
Sure.
There's covert forces.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's a practical issue. And then the last conference we had, that was at your conference. And then in the Rob Potter conference a couple years ago in Mount Shasta,
mm-hmm.
the volunteer cooks and cook assistants were outside the glass doors of the meeting room there, and I was giving my two-hour presentation. And they were, and I was talking at the end of it. I said there were three Galactic Council ships,
right.
Galactic Alliance ships, about 30 feet across, hovering in a triangular formation at about 5,000 feet, protecting
right.
the event
mm-hmm.
from satellite, covert operations, any kind of interference whatsoever.
Right.
And right when I said it, before I got off the stage, they both looked up, the sky opened, and they saw all three ships hovering there.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful.
I got off the stage. I didn't tell this to everybody, mm-hmm. but I got off the stage, and they came running up to me all excited, just aghast, and they said, you know what just happened when you said that statement? These three ships showed up. It was amazing.
Oh, that's incredible. That is
so
incredible.
So they can do it, and yeah. they will when they choose to. I don't command them in any way in this regard.
Right, right. I want to ask you, we've got about 8 minutes left, 8-9 minutes left, Scott, and I wanted to ask you about chemtrails. I have heard that the chemtrails, when I asked a couple of years ago, I was told by your friends in the Galactic Alliance that they're doing it as soon as possible in a safe way to end chemtrails. But then I heard recently.
You know, in the last 4 months, there used to be massive chemtrails over my area in Lake Forest, not far from Laguna Beach,
okay.
Southern California, hours
right.
south of L.A.
Right.
Like everywhere else in NATO-aligned countries, everywhere in the world.
Right.
They're even doing them over Russia. So
oh,
they're in it, too.
Oh, you're kidding. My goodness.
No.
Wow.
But the thing is, they've backed off a great deal in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chemtrails over me right now, and there
wow.
usually was every day.
Wow. Wow.
So there are whole days, 4 or 5 days of every week now where they just don't do them at all.
Well, I know that
they're really backing off on that.
Wow. I know that when I was in Shasta last month, Mount Shasta, normally I remember driving through Shasta in October of 2016, early one morning. And Scott, there must have been at least a dozen chemtrails. It was about 7 o'clock
right.
in the morning, and it was a weird looking sky because you could see even people who are maybe skeptical about chemtrails, you looked up and there was no logical explanation except they're spraying all these chemicals in the air.
Yeah, they aren't exhaust from jets.
No.
The jets, modern jets don't produce that
no.
kind of visible exhaust.
And
they are done at an elevation
right.
above the illegally allowed commercial airways
right.
traffic lines.
Right.
And so they can fly any direction they want, not interfere with commercial traffic.
Well, the problem in Mount Shasta, The trees, the reports I heard were the trees were dying in mass
right.
there from
That's
all the
correct.
Aluminum and barium and strontium.
They start to make layers of bark drop off like they're doing in the eucalyptus forest where I live.
Yeah, they're all dying. And all kinds of people had protested. There were petitions to the county commissioners down
well,
there.
I saw those videos. You're right.
Yeah, down there.
Here's the thing about a classified government that was created after World War II officially. It's not part of any elected system on this planet.
Right.
They meant well when they started it, but it was influenced and controlled by tyrant extraterrestrials,
okay.
unfortunately.
Sure.
Illegally done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been policed or we'd all be dead already.
Right.
Chemtrails aren't being sprayed by an elite on this planet to kill off humanity. That's mm-hmm. not why they're doing it. They could kill off everybody on this planet with a colorless, odorless gas, spending a few million dollars in one sortie of aircraft around the world and do that in a day at almost no expense. So it doesn't make sense to do this for 20 years to diabolically kill off life. They're doing it to protect their own assets
oh.
and their own offspring. They're doing it partially for global warming to try to shield the Earth. But the problem is all this is that the chemicals they're using ultimately are toxic.
Yeah, they are.
They're ultimately destroying the environment. And they're beginning to become aware of this. This isn't going to work this way.
I talked to William Tompkins, you know him, selected by extraterrestrials last year or earlier this year. And he said that there was reptilian craft. This is before things changed last year, but there were reptilian craft actually spraying the planet as well, in addition to the government craft.
No. I don't see that. Here's why.
Yeah?
One of the reasons there are no abductions, which is under the direction of a more tyrant race behind Greys and all that kind of thing,
right,
is because quite beyond just what some of the whistleblowers in the secret space program are saying about the kicking out of the reptilians.
Right.
They have actually not only been quarantined outside the solar system, they weren't killed, they were sent home.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
And they were given an offer they could not refuse. And what occurred in space was this.
Uh-huh.
Fleet of them were on their way here to try to take over this world.
Really?
At one point, because they were getting desperate, energies were happening they couldn't control. Things were starting to slip through their fingers,
uh-huh.
like the satellite link we're on now. Government here can't interfere with it.
Right.
Why? Because it's being protected.
Wow, that's
so
wonderful.
Something was underway, and when their ships were on their way here, they actually, let's just say other beings higher than the Galactic Alliance were involved, and their ship's power were cut off.
Really? Wow.
Floating in space. And they went through a consciousness change. They had one choice only. Float in space forever till they die or head home.
Wow, that's amazing.
The only way they could get their ships repowered is if they intentionally set the controls to reverse their course.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the kinds of things that happen beyond our solar system. And then there is a quarantine around this planet. There has been for a long time because of a lot of different races that are here. But there is a quarantine around our solar system.
Uh-huh. Well,
smaller groups within the Galactic Alliance are involved, but there are many groups beyond groups that are nearer to our solar system that are helping this involved in all this.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take care of the diabolical tyrant control issue out there amongst the stars if you ever want it to permanently end here, so it'll never come back.
Wow, wow. That's what's
underway.
I had no idea that that was planning is underway. It was stopped, and I want to thank the Galactic so much for doing that for humanity.
They also recognized, Ted, that many of their cousins and relatives were put here unconscious in bodies and compulsively compelled to reincarnate here over and over again with their memory wiped, that they want back. Many beings on Earth today belong amongst races out there. They didn't originate on this planet. In fact, no human being ever did, which means everybody on Earth isn't from here. The body forms, Japanese, Chinese, African-American, Caucasian, they're not from here.
Right.
When people begin to hear this, something kicks in way deep in their consciousness where they used to know this stuff for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm delighted to be here. It's not an easy place to be, as you know, Ted.
No.
But I want to be here for this change.
Right. Right.
So I'm committed to helping that happen.
Right. Well, you do a great job of educating people, Scott, and we all have the spark of the Supreme Being within us, I think. We all have the spark of the Creator within us, and we're all one. And that's one of the messages that I always get from the other side. And for
yes,
us
it's true.
To fight each other, and when we fight each other, we're basically fighting ourselves.
That's it, because the lower universe is set up on the law of, one of the laws, basic laws of physics.
Right.
Every action creates an equal but opposite reaction. This is for thoughts and feelings as well.
Right.
So when people's imagination, which is meant to be used to only create benevolent, uplifting things for all life, not just life on our planet, when it's twisted so people think in opposing directions at the same time,
mm-hmm.
like, I want a good destiny for myself and my family, but I'm terrified about an Armageddon destroying the Earth.
Sure.
That splits the being's energy in half and sends it in two opposing directions.
Right.
Tyrants know this. They want people fighting foes and thinking it's somebody in Washington when they're actually from off-world.
Right.
So they're always throwing stones at the wrong place.
Right.
And they get caught through the satellite system energies that are transmitted through negative streams and negative visions and negative imagination and negative emotion. They actually voluntarily, without realizing, link up to these things.
Right.
Well, using the imagination that way.
Scott, we've got less than 2 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you to please give out your website or people could contact you about your wonderful
book. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's paralleltime.com, just like the two words are spelled.
Okay.
paralleltime.com.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody goes there, everything they'd ever want to know about me or my mission to this planet is revealed.
Okay.
Anything they could ever want to know. The videos of conferences I presented at are there. Radio shows like yours are there. And there's no charge for that.
Okay.
My books can be obtained there, The Sarah's Agenda, The Emerald Doorway, book one of the Parallel Time Trilogy, through links provided at the website that go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, so they don't have to hunt for where to go.
Sure.
And they can get them if they wish. But nothing's sold at the website itself.
Sure.
And they can contact me through the contact link at the top of the page.
Okay.
And I will respond to them.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we've got less than a minute now left, Scott, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today. And for people interested in meeting Scott in person, he'll be with my Shasta trip September 7th through the 12th, and I hope you can all come. It should be a really out-of-this-world experience. And, Scott, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. Really appreciate
it. My pleasure. And I want to send my best to Eric Ryder, to your engineer.
All right. He does a great job. He does a great job. And one week from today, we'll be having a special program on Dr. Emoto. and we'll be talking about water. His birthday is the 22nd of July. And with that, I'd like to we could play Imagine by John Lennon. Have a beautiful weekend, everyone, and thank you again so much for supporting Out of This World Radio. Bye-bye, everyone.